Beng is pointing out that he finds walking meditation more difficult in the sense that there's more distractions. You see scenery as you close the eyes, as you open the eyes, not closed like sitting meditation. And that is true, that is the case. Even so, it can still be a very useful posture, and one can develop focus and insight and so on, even if it's a little bit more difficult. That can also be a good exercise, because usually we can't live our life in sitting in full lotus all the time. And it's a very important exercise to learn to have mindfulness, to put forth wide effort in abandoning unwholesome states, developing wholesome ones, preventing unwholesome ones from arising, and further leading wholesome states to their the highest possible culmination, wide effort. To do all that, now, even if we are unable to close our eyes and to sit cross-legged. So it's a little bit more difficult than sitting, but compared to many other activities, it's still much, much easier. So I think it's an excellent transition. And once we become used to and train the mind, both in samatha and vipassana, while walking, we may also find it, we gain the skill and ability to do that to some extent, even in still more destructive activities, and that's so important. The one thing is also here with the circumambulation, again, that has a little bit more distraction than if you're on a walking path and just walk up and down, to and fro. Then you can have a walking meditation path, which is very bland, and just a wall at the end. So then the visual distractions get a little bit less. I also notice that here, often I notice a monastery is quite beautiful. Already, the difference is apparent. We had sitting meditation, and so the mind is more sensitive to beauty anyhow. And it's also a time where I don't really have any duties or anything, it's just walking. And suddenly you notice now how beautiful it actually is. But it's also a little bit distractive. You see the Bodhi tree and all it's growing well, and the lotus flowers. So you can further reduce that. Here it has simply, technical reasons. How do you deal with a group of people and everyone together doing walking? But if you're back home or wherever you do your walking meditation, you can choose a place where there's a minimum of visual distraction. Actually, my kuti can also be distractive. I've got a very beautiful walking meditation path in terms of the view there. But fortunately, beauty is also, if you have that every day, a beautiful view, and it also loses the appeal, so it's no longer so difficult. But in the beginning, I could get distracted. My sunset is incredibly beautiful. But that's a very minor distraction anyhow. One can even just decide to actively watch the sunset, and that can be done with a very high level still of the calmness and mindfulness in the mind. But an important one is walking meditation then as training, that we should do bhavana all the time. It's not really possible to do samadhi all the time. You can't do jhana while you're commuting to work, or while you're doing your shopping, or looking after the grandchildren or something. But you can definitely do bhavana while you're doing these things. As long as we are doing a wholesome activity, where we don't have to break the precepts, we should become used to always make some effort to develop bhavana, the Eightfold Path, mental training. And even if it's really difficult and you can't really develop anything much, and you can still develop patient endurance then, or even just a basic level of mindfulness and awareness that the mind is overwhelmed, at least one is aware of that. And I think walking meditation can be a step towards that.